Հանգոր եւ օրդվող եւ օգուին սրբող ամեն As I've said many times Lent is a time for learning especially about our faith and the only time we really learn about our faith that we really sit down to do that unfortunately for most of us is during Lent and that's why during this Lenten season we're going to learn about where our faith begins Very often we say that our faith starts with Christ, and this is true. But if we go before Christ, we learn that our faith really starts at creation. How because of creation and our fall from grace, Christ was needed to come to the earth to save us. And this year we're going to learn about the days of creation. Every Sunday we're going to learn about one day, and we've already learned about the first 4 days. Today we're learning about the fifth day, Thursday, Heim Shati, Thursday. It's harder in English because they don't go by the names. It's Yerushati, Yerek Shati, right? Day one, day two, day three, day four, and so on. So, about Thursday. But we've already learned, and this song that we're learning about, written by St. Narses the Grace-Filled, who is from the 11th century, 12th century, I apologize, the 12th century, He wrote a song of 36 verses, one verse for each letter of the Armenian alphabet. And it's a song that we have in Armenian, but also because of our bishop and his willingness to do this for us, he translated it into English with the same tune. And he goes through all the days of creation and what God does. And we've learned already that on Monday, God creates the heavens and the angels. On Tuesday, he creates the plants. On Wednesday, he creates the sun, the moon, the stars, in essence, time. And today, we learn that Christ, God creates the swimmers, the fish and the birds, those that swim and those that fly. But we also see how St. Narses compares, how he compares the creation of those things swimming in the water with our baptisms and how we swim through the waters of baptism, the life-giving waters. Last week we spoke about time and how for Armenians, time is not linear, nor is it circular, but time is like a helix that circles and continues. And things are very similar every year, but at the same time, they're different. And how we see this, especially in the Old Testament, we see events in the Old Testament taking place that when we know about Christ in the New Testament, we say, wait a minute, that sounds very familiar to something that's going to happen later on. One example he talks about in today's hymn is the Israelites fleeing Egypt and crossing through the Red Sea, and how crossing through the Red Sea is an illusion, a foreshadowing of our baptism from slavery into freedom, from darkness into light. Baptism, we often think, is only a Christian thing, but it's actually a Jewish custom that's found in the Old Testament. Those families that wanted to convert to Judaism would be baptized, would be washed, a ritual cleansing. The men naturally would be circumcised, but the remaining of the family would be washed as a ritual to enter into this new faith, this monotheistic faith. But Christ also later on goes on to say in the New Testament, he says, if one wants to enter the kingdom of God, he must be born again. He must be born of the water and the spirit, alluding to baptism. In the Armenian church, there are two things that are emphasized in baptism. The first is adoption. When we read the prayers of the Armenian church when it comes to the baptismal service, many times it talks about adoption and how we have been adopted, how we have joined God's family. We are not children. We sometimes hear this, and it's a beautiful thing when we say, oh, we are all children of God. Yes, that's true. But we don't necessarily belong to his family all the time. We are created from the dirt, as we're going to learn about next week. We're created from the dirt. We are not divine, as Christ is. divine. We are not gods. And so, when we are baptized, as the Apostle Paul says, we become co-heirs. Jarangakis. We become co-heirs with Christ. We are given the responsibility, but also the rights and the privileges of what Christ has. And that is the opportunity for eternal life. So when we are baptized, we join this faith, we join his family, we join the body of Christ, we join the church. The second thing that the Armenian church really emphasizes during baptism is freedom. And as I said in Armenian, freedom has a very bad rap today. We sometimes think, or we often hear, freedom means I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, with whatever I want. And no one can tell me anything else. I can do whatever I want without responsibilities or repercussions or consequences. This is not what freedom is. That is anarchy. Freedom, especially in the Christian sense, is being free of sin, of Satan, and of the chains of slavery. This is why St. Nerses Shnohali alludes to this in his song about how we are freed from sin just as Israel was freed from bondage, how Israel is freed from the slavery of Egypt. Sin is that thing that we create and ultimately is bound around us. We are the ones that create it. There was once a king, a very evil king, and he ordered one of his subjects to come to his court. And the subject comes in, the king asks the subject, "What do you do as a profession? What's your job?" And the subject says, "I'm a blacksmith." And so the king, who was very evil, says to him, "I want you to go and make a chain about this long, and then to come back to me." And so the blacksmith goes, and he makes this chain, and after a couple of weeks he comes back, and he shows the king that he has made this chain. The king says, "Good." So then the evil king says, "Now I want you to go and make another chain, the same length, but I'm sorry, twice as long as this length." Twice as long. So the subject says, "All right, I will do this." And he goes. Weeks later, he comes back with the chain, now twice as long. And the evil king says, "I want you to go and make a chain twice as long as that one." And so the subject goes and does this. And this goes on for many, many times. Until finally, the subject comes back with a chain that is so long and so heavy that he can hardly move. And then the king, who is very mean and evil, turns to his guards and says, "I want you to take the chain that he has made and wrap it around him and throw him into the furnace." This is what sin does. We make it, and the devil takes it and wraps it around us, and then throws us into the furnace. Like the cruel king, Satan orders us to make chains of sin and to wrap it around us. And we do it willingly. We listen, and we purposely do these sins and wrap them around us, which prevent us from truly living. The apostle, St. Paul, says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." The apostles knew this. The apostles knew this, and this is why they went to the ends of the earth preaching the gospel, freeing people from sin and baptizing them. So often, we think that it is not the Armenian's job to preach to others. So often I have heard, unfortunately by priests as well, that it is the Protestant's job to do that. It's the Catholic Church's job to do that, to do missionary work. It's not the Armenian's job to go out and preach the gospel. We need to take care of ourselves. As Deacon Sarkis said, "Kapave, this is enough. We don't need to do anymore." However, if we read our history, and we know our history of the Armenian Church, we will know, and the Orthodox Church in general, we will know how evangelical the Armenian Church and the Orthodox Church has been. The Armenians, as we read, Saint Mashtos, who created the Armenian alphabet in 404, 405, he didn't just say, all right, I'm only going to do it for the Armenians. But he saw that the Georgians and the Caucasian Albanians didn't have an alphabet. They didn't know who God was. They didn't know his word. And so he went, learned their languages, and made an alphabet for them too. They don't know that. They think someone else did it. But that's beside the point. We were very evangelical. Even to the point where we have records of monks from Armenia traveling on boat all the way to Ireland. Where is Ireland? On the other side of the world for the Armenians. But Armenian monks went in boats across seas and oceans to go to Ireland to preach to the pagans. And the question then is, why? Why would Armenians care about these people called the Irish or the Georgians or the Albanians or any other nation in that area? Why would we want to preach this God to them? They might hurt us. They might not like us.
Georgians didn't.
Huh?
Georgians were not on our side.
They were not, no. And a lot of them were persecuted, our evangelists, the Armenians, missionaries. Why? Because the Armenians realized that what we had was too good to keep to ourselves. The Armenians realized that this thing, this God, who has forgiven us of our trespasses and is willing to give us eternal life, is not only for us, but it's for everybody. And it's up to us to go out and preach this to others. This is why they were willing to risk everything to teach others of Christ. So the question then arises, what do we do? As St. Sarkis Armenian Church in Dallas, Texas, do we keep to ourselves and only worry about the Armenians? We do. I see nods and heads going up and down. Or do we go out and preach the gospel? Do we do that? In my opinion, and in many priests' opinion, not just mine, the Armenian church has been given the commission to preach the gospel to the Turks and to the Azeris. It is the Armenian church's responsibility to do this. Well, we might hear, oh, but they're our enemies. They're going to hurt us. They persecute us. They did a genocide against us. Yes, yes, and yes. But so did King Dertad. He persecuted and tortured St. Gregory the Illuminator for 14 years. And when he got out of the pit, did St. Gregory say, no, I'm not baptizing you because you did bad things to me? Maybe he should have, and we wouldn't have this responsibility. Maybe we'd be better off now. But he didn't. He said, I'm going to baptize you. I'm going to preach to you, and I'm going to make you a Christian king. And he did this. It is our responsibility as Armenian Christians to go out and preach the word to everybody, not just to the Armenians. We know who Christ is. I hope we do. I hope we do. Sometimes I get startled by the things I hear about who Christ is amongst the Armenians. But it is the Armenian church and our Armenian responsibility to go out and preach the gospel to everyone. Odad and Hai. Foreigner and Armenian. It is my prayer that as we leave here today, we don't leave here like every other Sunday, just pretending we know who God is, going out, and then coming back next week and only caring about ourselves. It is my hope and my prayer that we leave here as apostles. We leave here as evangelists. We leave here as messengers of the greatest gift that has ever been given to anybody. Eternal life. And taking that and preaching it to other people we come in contact with. Armenian, non-Armenian, Turk, non-Turk. And we teach them who Christ is. Because if we think we know better than them, or we know better than God, then we are in a big, big, big pile of doo-doo. We need to realize that we don't know everything.
We look like.
Because sometimes we look like that too. It's up to us. We need to realize that we don't know everything, our responsibility to listen to the Word of God, to go out and preach the gospel, and to bring people to Christ. And we have done our job, and at the end of the day, we can finally say, Father, I have done all you have done and asked of me, unworthy servant as I am. Amen.